Oh my gosh, you must have so many stories for like sure. this. All I'm thinking as you're saying this is like we could just do a whole episode on all of the tragedies.
Yeah. The tragedies, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's tough too because like clients sometimes will be like, "No, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine." And you're like, "I actually know that it won't be fine. Like I know what this looks like on a wedding day, and so it's not going to be fine."
Path to Business, the podcast. We are your hosts, Luke and Bethany Barrett. We're a husband and wife team building a legacy with our three children that we're so damn proud of. Full-time wedding photographer and videographer operating a thriving six-figure business.
We share all our best strategies from the lessons that we've learned along the way.
Featuring other amazing businesses so you can genuinely get inspired.
This is your Path to Business.
Welcome back. It's so good to have you back in the studio again, and this time in person. The last time that we did an interview, it was over Zoom back in the old pandemic days. And so it's so nice to have you in person and be able to chat with you all things wedding. So Erica, start us off. Tell us what it's like having a wedding planner from a client's perspective. I think everybody wants to know, why have a wedding planner?
Yeah, are they worth it?
Oh, wow. Okay, we're starting off hot. Well, first, thanks for having me, guys. I love coming here. You know that. So from working with me from a planner perspective, if you're a client, so the idea is that you would hire a planner ideally, you know, when you first start your planning. It doesn't always happen that way, but ideally, I love coming in whenever people haven't even chosen a venue yet. So they just got engaged. They're just starting to think about their planning. Usually, it's like the overwhelm kind of starts to set in, and then they're ready to chat with me. And usually on the first call, the idea is like, I really just want to get to know them, see what their vision is, get an idea of what they're thinking from a budget perspective, how many guests, you know, what they have an idea of, like where they want to be in Ottawa or just outside of Ottawa. And then we start from there. So my ideal is when I get to be the one to take them to the different venues, because I feel like I am really good at kind of sussing out what is going to be the best venue for them. And I have a ton of information when it comes to venues and like how to read packages and things like that. So that's really where I love to start. It doesn't always work out. Sometimes they already have their venue and then we kind of go from there. So then I'm going into like their vendor recommendations and what they want their wedding weekend to feel like. So that's kind of how it starts. Yeah.
I like how you said wedding weekend.
Wedding weekend, I know.
We talked about that in an earlier podcast about that it's no longer just a one-day event. You kind of make it into a weekend thing.
Yeah. And I actually don't like it when people say like, oh, it's just one day. And like, it's so much money to spend on one day. It's not. It's really the weekend. Like your guests are coming into town. Your family's coming into town. Sometimes even like Tuesday before the wedding, there's some kind of activities during the week sometimes. Friday's always the rehearsal, some kind of like welcome party, welcome drink, you know. And then you've got, as an example, a Saturday wedding, and then there's usually something on the Sunday as well. So it is a weekend.
Do you typically attend rehearsal dinners?
So for the rehearsal, I'm there for the rehearsal. And then depending on what's happening, like if it's a welcome party, yes, because it's usually something I'm helping with. But if it's the actual just the rehearsal dinner, no. I just say my goodbyes. I go back home. I usually have work to do to get ready for the next day. Yeah.
When you're looking at like venues with clients, I'm curious, have you ever run into situations where the clients were on the fence about a venue and you just found like, you know, like you had to kind of put your planner hat on, but also like, you know, the realist, like, I don't know if this is a good fit. That must be so difficult for you when people
for
have
sure.
this vision and then you're like, okay, but have you thought about X, Y, Z? I think that's where having a planner really makes a difference, right? Is you kind of have all that back end expertise, right?
No, that's a good point. Actually, one of the venues just said to me last week, they said, we love it when there's a planner because you guys sell the vision of the wedding as well. So for me, I let the salesperson from the venue do their kind of spiel, and then I will take them through what it really is like to have your wedding at that location. And then I love going, especially if we can do like a venue day where we go to a bunch of venues. That's my favorite, because then I can take them and I can show them kind of the pros and cons, and then they really get a quick sense. And then usually it'll come down to price a little bit too, like they want to see some pricing, and then we kind of break that down. So the idea is like, I like to be able to present the pros and the cons and the pricing, and then we kind of weigh out, okay, this one is only say $50 more ahead, but you get this and this and this, those types of things. Yeah, that's my favorite for sure.
And do you find that clients listen to your advice most of the time, or do you find like it's kind of difficult, right? Because they might have a vision and that's what they want to go with. Like, do you ever find that that's a difficult part of the process?
It is for sure. And sometimes people get really caught up in the fact like, well, my friend got married here, and so I don't want to copy what she did, but they actually really love the venue. So that is for sure tricky. And then sometimes they have an idea of what the day is going to be like based on what they've been sold. And then that I find really difficult. Like, I really don't like it whenever I take them on a venue tour and the venue says something like, the room will speak for itself. You barely have to do anything. That just irks me so much because people feel that they can just take a big chunk of their budget and be like, venue, check. And everything is, you know, done, but they haven't thought through the fact that, well, what about the chairs and the linens and the candles and the, you know, flowers and so on. And they just like don't budget enough for that. And then I call it venue poor, like where you just spend too much money on your venue and then there's just not enough budget left over for everything else. And that just like ruins everything.
On average, how much of a percentage would you say you should allocate to the venue?
To your venue?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would say half, at least half. And so about half of it is your venue. And so whatever your kind of food and drink is, I always say double it, unless you want really nice decor. That would be the hardest part for me to estimate. And then I'll say triple. So it'll be like, you know, I'll use 50,000 just for round numbers, even though it's a scary number. Like 50,000 would be food and banquet, tax tip, everything, 50,000 on your other vendors. And then if you're really wanting to go wow with your decor, you're spending almost the same on decor, beverage, and venue.
Oh, wow. And would you say that, especially given the times, do you see like a trend where people are sort of pulling back the reins, or are they kind of like surprised by the pricing? Yeah. Like, I'm curious. I know we've talked about pricing, yeah, and learned a lot that way, but I'm, yeah, curious, are you seeing that as like a whoa?
No, for sure, for sure. And I think people, I mean, it's the same thing with us, right? Like our groceries are more, like we pay our people more, gas is more, like everything is more. And I think people are kind of thrown off by how much things are in the wedding world. And then when they try to scale back, they realize it is a little bit hard to scale back, to figure out where to pull back. Usually decor is like one of the first things to kind of get lowered. And then people think that things like, well, I won't have a cake and I won't have invitations. And you're like, no, it's people. Like, number of guests, yeah, is really what's going to hit your bottom line. So if you have a 150-person wedding and then you make it a 100-person wedding, that's your savings, not cutting your cake or having e-invitations. Like, that's just minimal, very minimal. Yeah.
Like, in, yeah, your overall budget, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's such a, like a 1%, you know?
Totally.
When you think about it,
yeah,
right?
Totally. Yeah, exactly. You could cut two people and keep your cake.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that sometimes, I love that you're talking about the vision, because sometimes it's really hard. Like you said, if they go in and they're like, okay, everything's done,
yeah,
right? But then the thing is like, okay, so imagine yourself now walking into this room, all your guests walking into this room, and all that's on the tables is plates and forks and knives and a glass of water.
Totally.
You know, totally. Like, that's what it's going to look like with linens that don't touch the floor.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, that's my pet peeve. Not in banquet chairs. No, that's exactly it. And I think it's especially hard with the hotels, because they do banquets, like, or meetings or conferences. Like, that's not a wedding. And so people think like, oh, well, it comes with these things. And then when you actually see it, you're like, that's not what you're seeing on, especially if you're like on my, you know, Instagram, or you're on Pinterest or something. That's not the same thing. So you have to just be careful of what you're being sold.
Speaking of Pinterest, yes. You knew I was going to go there.
Okay. I'm sure. I was like, oh, no, I said Pinterest.
When it comes to Pinterest, do you find that people have these unrealistic expectations when it comes to that? Talk us through, like, yeah, maybe some scenarios where you've been like, okay, your budget's 20,000 for decor, yeah, and flowers. And what you've shown me is an arch that's worth 20,000 total.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
So have you run into those situations where it's like they have these crazy Pinterest boards that they want you to try and recreate, and it's just...
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, Pinterest is like, it's great, but it's terrible. You know, it's like a wedding planner's like helper, and then, yeah, just not at all. So the hard part is that you see a picture, you have no idea how much things cost. And I actually think that that's kind of like a bit of our industry's problem too. I feel like people really safeguard their prices, especially for florals and decor. They really safeguard that. And so there's just no education. And so people don't know, like, that room, you know, that picture you're seeing on Pinterest is a style shoot. Mm-hmm. And that style shoot is just one table. And so, of course, they've gone overboard, and it's like a $10,000. Well, then multiply that by 20 tables, like, there's no way you're going to get what you want. And then the other thing is that people try to take their budget and they try to spread it out over the room, and then it just looks like nothing. Like, it's like taking, like, you know, fairy dust and sprinkling it everywhere, and you can't see anything. Like, it's, yeah, just nothing.
Instead of like 10 tea lights on one table, they,
yeah,
put one on each.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So if you know, if you're really trying to keep it tight, I mean, you guys know this from photo and video, you put your money into where you guys are going to be sitting all night. Like, have a beautiful sweetheart table. Like, don't go like a huge head table on a stage, you know, like, just keep it tight in there. But yeah, that's probably the hardest part, is just getting people to understand how much things cost. Like even last week I was showing a client, she was showing me her photos and I was taking her through them. I'm like, that table is $300. That centerpiece is $500. That napkin, that cutlery, that glass, you know, like, and they're like, oh my gosh, like I didn't even see all those items. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, like that's what's making that look.
Even the menu that's on there and the custom name tags, right? I mean, and sometimes it's just layers, right? Like the, you know, you see in the photos, you're like, oh wow, it's so beautiful, such a nice tablescape, but they have like four charger plates, right?
That's right. Totally.
And you're like, but each charger plate's like $10 to $20, right? So just there, you've got like $100 in plates. Yeah. And that's not including the plate that you're going to have like the food served on.
I know. And it is funny with chargers because people will see it in a photo and exactly what you're saying, like they'll have the layered plates and you're like, that's not where the plates are. The plates are in the kitchen because they're getting food put on them. And so people just see like the style sheet and they're like, oh, it's the same thing. No, like that's where your food is coming out on.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're trying to like move all the stuff once,
exactly.
once the food comes out.
Exactly.
But it looks so pretty.
Yeah. No, exactly.
One of the things I wanted to ask you when it comes to wedding planning, do you find that couples are really interested in working with vendors that you've worked with like more, or do you find that it's kind of like a mix of people coming to you like, I want to bring this vendor, I want to bring that vendor because I know him from whatever? Like, how do you manage that part of your business? Do you find that
It can be tricky for sure. I mean, obviously I have a pretty curated list of people that I've, you know, spent time with and that I have either had great experiences with or not. And so I don't want to say I have a blacklist, but I kind of do. Like I know, I mean, we all know it's not a big industry. And so whenever somebody comes to me, especially on an initial call and they already have some vendors booked that are red flags, right away I'm like, I don't know if I can do your wedding because I know what this day is going to look like for me and for you, you know? And so it's really tricky. But you kind of walk that fine line with not wanting to badmouth people, but at the same time, just knowing they're not going to get what they're hoping to get out of this vendor. But at the same time, you know, I've also worked with people for a first time and I've really loved them. And so sometimes I've been really surprised by a new vendor that's come. So that part is great. Yeah. And then maybe they are somebody that I end up working with. So I don't want to say like I have such a list that like you can't go out of my list either.
Yeah.
But definitely like I have people that I really trust. And there's no like kickbacks or anything like that. It's more just about that trust and just knowing that at the end of the day, my couple's going to be super happy, because that's who I work for. I work for my couples. Like I don't work for the venue. I don't work for the decorator. Like I work for myself. I work for them. So I just want them to have just the best day ever at the end of it all.
And you get to see that from both sides too, right? You get to see it from the couple's perspective,
right,
but you also get to see it from a vendor, like behind the scenes perspective on how they work, how professional they are, how they treat their clients before and after.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not just like, okay, they're a great vendor on the day. There's like so much that goes into it. I'm sure that you can also be like,
and especially they're like, we'll use photo and video as an example. I know how disappointed my couples are when they have to wait a really long time for things to get turned around. And like, I really do appreciate that from you guys. Like you're very quick at turning around sneak peeks and little videos and like all sorts of little treats for them, because they're riding a high. Like they come off of, you know, let's just say your wedding is on Saturday. They're coming off that high and they want to ride it out. And the last thing they want is just like people DMing them videos from their wedding and photos that are like kind of half-assed, you know, like they want to start seeing them and they just want to keep the momentum going of how much fun it is. I mean, they really, at the end of it, they always say to me like, that was way more fun than I thought. Like a wedding day is way more fun than I thought. I was expecting it to be like this and it wasn't at all. It was awesome. And so they just want to ride that high. So yeah, like waiting, you know, 6 weeks to 6 months and like to get anything from anyone just makes them feel terrible at the end of it. So it is really tricky whenever a photographer that I know doesn't turn things around quick enough. I just know like my client's not going to be happy.
Just saying that your clients come out and they say that the wedding day is funner than they imagined is a real testament to you and what you do for them.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I actually love that whenever they say that, especially the grooms, because the grooms are the ones like they think that it's not going to be as fun as what we're selling it as, you know? And then on the day of, that's one of my favorite things when they say to me, like, this was really fun, Erica. Like, this was the best thing. Because I always say to them, like, this is the only time that all your people are in the same room, everyone you love, your family, your friends, it's your people. It's not your sister's wedding or your brother's wedding. Like, it's your people. And just like look around the room and see everybody that loves you that has come for today. And the grooms are always like a little like overwhelmed when it's actually happening. They just do, you know, they actually take that moment and they're like, wow, this is really a lot. This is beautiful. Yeah.
I feel like having fun on a wedding day is like, that's where we're very similar.
Really.
We want our clients to have fun because we realize that like, it is a lot of stress. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of, like, you know, politics, let's say, and family dynamics and things like that. But like you said, when it comes down to the day, I think the real difference for couples when they do get to have fun is because, not to say, you know, that they have to hire us as vendors, but because they've hired good vendors as well, right? I wouldn't say the same is true for couples who, like, we get to see couples who don't have planners. Yeah. It's not always that case, right? Because they're the ones that are the point person, right? So if something goes wrong in the kitchen, they're going to the couple, right? Because they don't have, and that's the reverse, is it's like what people don't realize is that it can be a lot of fun, and it should be, if you have, like, the right people behind you that are supporting you and, like, kind of really making sure that that vision comes to life, right?
No, that's a really good point, yeah. And I think, too, there's a lot of things that happen in the background. Like, I love it whenever they ask after, like, so what went wrong? Tell me what went wrong. And we won't even tell them, like, a lot of the things, because a lot of the stuff, like, they shouldn't even know. But, you know, maybe a couple highlight stories, and then they're like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm so glad you were there. Like, I didn't want to have to deal with that or whatever it is. So I just, like, I love that.
Let's talk about the vendor side,
yes.
Because, I mean, we've kind of transitioned to that. What can somebody do to work with you if they're a vendor in the wedding industry and they're like, how do I work with a planner?
Yeah.
Or even how do I work with you?
Yeah, well, I can talk about it from my perspective for sure. So one of the things, and I've mentioned this before on Instagram, is, like, I really hate a cold DM. Like, that is just, to me, just, like, the scuzziest of ways to, like, you know, interact with me. So somebody who just sends me a message and I can clearly see that it's just a cut and paste, you know? So I really like to be, like, warmed up. So, like, you comment on my things, you DM me nice things, like, about my stories, you kind of just, like, say nice things for a while, and you're not expecting anything for a while, and it can be, like, months before I want to hear anything from anyone, you know, anything more than that. And then I like it whenever they're offering to, well, I'll tell the story about us, actually. That'll be a good story.
Well, because I went back, I had to scroll for a while.
Okay? I know I saw, yeah. So what I loved about it was that, like, obviously you had tried to reach out, like, you'd been, like, you know, follow me for a while. And that's the other thing too, like, we can see if someone's following us. So when someone says, like, oh, I love your work, and then I go to their profile and they haven't even hit follow, that's a huge red flag, like, right away, right? I don't love that at all. But anyways, yeah, so, like, you reached out to me and you were, like, offering something, right? So it's not like, hey, can I send you my like, the link to my website, or here's, like, my portfolio and I would love to work with your clients. That just means I want business from you. I want you to find me business. And that's a huge red flag for me. I wouldn't recommend somebody to my couples that I'd never worked with and that didn't have a track record that I knew of, and, you know, like, I've never even had any experience with them. So that's just, like, a huge red flag. But anyways, you had reached out and said, like, can I do detail shots for you? Can I do headshots for you? Like, really offering anything.
Like, behind the scenes even.
Exactly.
I said, if you ever need anything. I didn't even say, like, look at my work, I want to work with clients.
Yeah,
I said, exactly. Hey, like, what can I do for you?
Exactly.
Because it was a cold DM.
Yeah, that's true. It was a cold DM.
I was just thinking about that too. As you were talking about it, I was like, wait a second.
It was like, service you, you know? And so, like, I really appreciate that, because then it's like, okay, I hadn't really thought of that. Like, you know, having somebody come with me for a behind the scenes. And it does happen where I'm on a wedding, and there was a wedding actually, like, where I was on, and I knew the photographer wasn't interested in doing the details, and it was going to be a beautiful wedding. And I remember he had offered that option to me, and I was like, come. And then Luke came and did video, and then, like, it just was so beautiful, right? So, like, it was awesome. I really appreciated that. And even little things, like, when I'm on a wedding, you know, the fact that you guys will be like, hold on a second, take a second, get a picture with the client, let's get a couple pictures of you, let's get a couple pictures of your teams. It doesn't take that long, but it's just having that, you know, interaction of just like, okay, yes, let's just take a moment and enjoy, like, what we've made, right? This gorgeous wedding, or, like, these awesome videos that you make for me. Like, those types of things are so nice to be able to work with vendors that way. So the cold DM thing is really, like, just, like, don't do that. Just don't do that. Think of ways to be more, like, serving of the planner. And especially because the idea for me is that I will have those weddings that I will bring to my vendors, right? And then in the meantime, I want to be, like, I want it to be reciprocal. I want you guys to be referring to me as well. It doesn't happen as much, though, for a planner. Most of the time, we're the ones that are bringing the business.
And that must be a weird relationship as well with vendors, since you're one of the first point of contact for couples, that it can feel like it's a one-way situation. But I'm glad that we could help you out in any way we can, you know?
Well, I think we realized that how important it is from the very beginning, right? We have to think like this is back in 2018 when I cold DM'd you, okay? Yeah. It was a very different time than today, too. And There wasn't even stories back then, right? So what we were doing was just connecting over like our shared love of weddings. And that's, I think, what we really connected on. And yeah, I mean, I laugh because you did give us a chance and you know, you did work with us. And I mean, and it ended up being such a cool experience working with a planner because we didn't have that before, right? And you were one of the first people that ever recommended us. And so we can never thank you enough for that because we recommend you all the time as much as we possibly can. And we have referred you, which I'm happy to say.
Have returned the favor for sure.
but the thing is like, I know that it wasn't because you were like expecting me to like send you 5 or 10 referrals. Like it wasn't like that, right? Like like you said, there's no kickbacks. It's mostly just like you scratch my back, I scratch yours. We try to work together collaboratively. We try to think of things outside of the box, you know what I mean? Yes. And talk about timelines and figure all the things out that hopefully just saves our couple a lot of stress and stuff in the end as well, right? Yeah. So,
and for the couples too, I mean, whenever the vendors kind of get along and they've worked together, we know where, like, if there's a certain thing in the timeline that I know you're going to want, like you're going to want more time for details, you're going to want more time for the bride, I can schedule that in and I'm going to come and check with you guys and say, like, what do you think? Am I off? Do I need to add time? And then you give me feedback. But if it's a vendor I haven't worked with before, then there's like, are they actually going to stick to this timeline? Like it did happen to me where I gave the photographer the timeline, reviewed it, we're all good. And then on the day of, they needed way more time than they had even anticipated. And then it was making me have to try to catch up time for the whole day, you know? So that's tough. Like, that's really tough as a planner. You trust that they know their stuff and you know, like, you've got, you know, there's so much time you have. Are you good? Yes, I'm good.
And even knowing how comfortable we are together, where if I see something on the timeline and, you know, sometimes with other planners, if I didn't know them at all, I wouldn't even speak up. I'd be like, okay, I'll just try to fit everything into their timeline. But I know that with you, if I have an issue, I'm like, hey, you know, it's got to be done this way.
Yeah.
You do your magic. We'll try to compromise and figure something out because that confidence that we have, it's the same relationships that we love to have with our clients where they just trust that we've been to enough weddings and we know how long things take.
And we can have that open dialogue. I think that that's important, right? Like, I think building that relationship, it's not just like, hey, I see you at weddings and that's it. We hang out outside of that too, right? Like, we go to networking events together. We, you know, we chat online and talk about all those things and send each other funny ideas. And we're always trying to help each other in terms of improving like each other's business, right? Like, we want the best for each other. So I think that that relationship is just so special. So thank you.
You're welcome. That's awesome. I appreciate it too.
All right, Erica. Imagine there's new people that are listening to this and they're like, how do I approach you? Like, you've already kind of explained, you know, you want a warm kind of welcome in that case. But what would somebody who's looking to work with a planner, other than sort of what we talked about, what would be sort of the best way? Or maybe there isn't a way, like, you know what I mean? Like, what would be the best way for them to get in contact with you or sort of start to build that relationship? Because I think that as a new person, all you hear, especially like in our world, is like, you got to work with planners. That's where you want to be. But it's not always the reality.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So I think if you're new to the business, the best way to go is to find a planner who is also new and build that relationship. I think that is going to be a more solid ground for you to stand on because probably that new planner is also looking to do a style sheet or to build up their portfolio and you guys can work together. I just don't think it's really like a fit if somebody who is brand new to the business is reaching out to me. And I know that it can be like, you know, very attractive to like look at my Instagram and see the types of weddings we do and be like, oh, I'd love to do those too. But it's just not really going to be a good fit. Like for the people that I, like the couples that I work with, if I was to propose a new photographer to them, they would be looking at me a little strange. Like they're coming to me for experience. They're going to want my vendors to be experienced. So I think reach out to somebody who's about the same level as you and maybe do a style shoot together or just start to build together. And then you know what, like maybe you're going to build a relationship that lasts forever and you're both going to come up and then you're going to be the 15-year people into this and have this awesome relationship together.
I think that's such good advice because it's really hard to just sort of step in and be like, hey, all these vendors that you've worked with for years, ignore them. Even though, you know, when you work with a vendor, there's certain things that you need, right? That maybe that newbie just doesn't understand, right? Like when it comes to, for instance, we've worked together lots and it's like how important detail shots are for you or to do headshots. Like, imagine you having to be like, hey, you have have to do this now. You know, it just doesn't, like you said, it doesn't make sense. And your couples are coming to you that want somebody who is going to also match your energy, right? And not just be like a little scared and nervous or whatever, right? Have you ever had that happen where a vendor, maybe the client chose them, but it wasn't like a great fit? And like, what do you do in those situations?
For sure. It's happened to me before, especially when they bring somebody to the table like that they are friends with. I find that really tricky. It happens a lot with DJs, and it hasn't happened to me in a while, but I can definitely remember some like really funny stories about DJs that were like friends of friends or whatever. And there was one where he didn't do a site visit and he brought no extension like cords. And then he went, and I sent him a floor plan, sent him a timeline, and I said, do you want to do a site visit? He's like, nope. Shows up on the day of, and where he had to put his DJ booth was basically in front of the door of the, like, how the guests were going to come in. And he was like, you can't do that. Like, you can't do that. And he said, well, I don't have power that reaches. And I was like, that sounds like a you problem. Like, you have to figure this out. And really, you need to bring your own equipment. So then what happens? It falls on us. We're like asking the venue for power. You know, we're like, do we need to rent a Canadian Tire and buy him like a extension cord? You know, like, just be professional. Like, show up on the day and be professional. So those types of things to me are just like, oh my gosh. Or, you know, somebody doesn't want to pay for the chair rental through their decorator, and then they outsource that. Like, that happened to us a couple years ago, and the chairs were literally falling apart, and we were hiding the bad chairs from the guests, and we were giving up our chairs so that they could have them. And then as the night went on, like, people would be like, my chair just broke, and we're like, oh, okay, no problem. And then we'd notice a guest had left, and we would steal their chair. We're like, never again. Like, this is madness. Like, absolute madness. Like, that was not worth saving a couple $100, you know, like, to overall, like, in all that you spend in your wedding, like, to save a little bit of money on chairs, which is ridiculous.
Oh my gosh, you must have so many stories. For sure. Like, all I'm thinking as you're saying this is like, we could just do a whole episode on all of the tragedies.
The tragedies, exactly. Yeah. And it's tough too, because like, clients sometimes will be like, no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And you're like, I actually know that it won't be fine. Like, I know what this looks like on a wedding day, and so it's not going
to
be fine.
It's funny because we have that same conversation with people, even to the point where we told them not to hire us because we know that it's not going to be a good fit for them.
Yeah.
It didn't work with their vision, what they wanted, and we just told them, like, yeah, it comes from experience, because most people, they'll be like, give me the money, I'll just do whatever you tell me.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I think it's our responsibility as the professionals in the industry to educate them on that.
Yeah. Totally. I can think of this one example where they really wanted a stand-up reception. They didn't want like a seated dinner. And so they had this like setup in mind that they wanted. And I kept saying to them, like, it's just not enough seating, and it's kind of confusing what you're doing. It's going to kind of look like we have some tables for some people, but not for others, because they wanted tables for older guests. And then it ended up like, didn't work out, of course, on the day of. And then it's so hard as a planner to hear guests saying things like, their planner should have thought of that. I did think of this. I knew where this was going, but they wouldn't listen, you know? And so I've heard other planners online complain about the same thing, and they're like, oh no, I will tell them, like, tell the guests, like, I told them to do that. And they, you know, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can throw them under the bus like that. But you know, you kind of see it coming, you know what's coming. Yeah, it's so tricky.
Oh yeah. I've even, to the point where I'm not a planner, right? Let's just get this out here. But I've got enough experience to know that even if at like a cocktail style reception, you definitely need to have places for people to sit.
Absolutely.
People want to sit down. Yeah. Like, think of older people, or they just want to chit chat, or they're not going to stand for 5, 6, 7 hours, exactly. Right? Like, they need to sit down.
Exactly. I know. It's so tricky.
On this note, I wanted to touch about the like sort of, let's just call it like the anti-traditions that I feel like are coming out. I'm sure you see that a lot. In our scenario, what I found that clients are trying to sort of step away from doing traditional things end up still kind of very much doing traditional things. How do you navigate that when you're working with clients? Because I feel like that must be tricky, because every wedding is just, you know, they want one thing. They don't realize that, like, it's just easier to do it this way. Yeah. I'm curious how you...
It is tricky, because I think sometimes they have an idea they don't want the typical wedding, but then the things that are kind of typical wedding things, there's a reason they're like that. So it is really tricky whenever clients don't want to do one thing or another. Like, as an example, they'll say, oh no, I just want my ceremony. Like, some people can sit and the rest can stand, and we don't want to use a microphone. And you're like, okay, but nobody will be able to hear. And they're like, oh, it'll be fine. And then it's not. And there's like, there's a reason we use a microphone, like, even with a small group, you know, and so things like that. And then, or if there's like traditions as far as like when, you know, speeches, oh, we're just going to do an open mic. You're like, oh no, that's a terrible idea. Like, do not do that. There's a reason we do these things the way we do them, you know?
And it's a nightmare for us as vendors.
Yes.
You know, especially if it's just open mic during dinner, but when do we get warned that somebody is going to go up there? We might miss something, especially on the video side. It can be really tricky, even as photographers, especially if they don't even seat us in the same room as everyone else. That's another whole thing.
There are
so many things.
But I do see some things going away, and I'm like totally fine with it. Like, I'm glad, like, you know, we're seeing less favors. We're seeing like way less bouquet tosses and garter tosses. Like, those are things I can totally do without. Way more like first looks than ever, you know? So I'm loving that. And there's so those types of things. But then there's for sure things that people just think they can do without. And you're like, okay, just wait. You know, they say, oh, we don't want any speeches. And then the parents will come to us and say, like, we'd really like to speak at our child's wedding. Yeah. You know, I'm like, have these conversations ahead of time, not on the wedding day, and then put me in a situation where I have to go to my couple and ask. And they're like, no, we don't want any speeches. And then I got to go back to the parents and talk to them about it. So true.
I know. And I feel like that's probably the hardest thing, is it's like trying to also tell them, like, we're not going to be able to capture anything during this time, you know? Like, if you have nothing happening, there's no speeches, there's no first dances, what are we going to capture? We can't capture people eating. You know what I mean? Exactly. And so in those cases, it's just about educating. And I think that's what you do. We try to do the same thing, because we also want to make sure that the day is a success, right?
Absolutely.
Like, at the end of the day, we want people to walk away having a good time. We want to make sure they walk away feeling like they got all of the things, right?
That's right.
Kind of in there.
Yeah.
But it's a lot to put into one day. And also, it's a live event, right? And I think that's where you and I, we've worked so well, or us, say us, sorry, is that we work similarly, in the sense that we give buffer time. We try to make sure that the day isn't just super packed like a checklist.
Right.
You know, there is a checklist component, but it's in a way that hopefully flows as naturally as possible.
Yeah.
And I think people don't realize how much goes into that, right? Like, how many times have we had a timeline meeting and it's like, you've done it, you started when you booked them to start their planning, you know, their timeline. And then by the time you get to us, it's like, okay, but we're going to move this around and move this around, because, you know, all these things, like, people don't realize how much goes into all of that behind the scenes that you're doing, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the other thing with the timeline is that it's multiple people's input. I mean, on a wedding day, there might be 12 to 24 vendors. And then that's just like the vendor name. That's not even like the amount of people, you know, probably behind the scenes. Like, there was one wedding I counted, and I think like we had 250 people working for a 250 person wedding. Like, behind, you know, like the kitchen, like all the things. So putting all those pieces of all their requirements together into a timeline that makes sense, where, like, the loading dock is an example. People don't even understand. Like, you have to tell the venue when people are coming to the loading dock so that they can be ready for receiving these people. You know, so there's so many things in a couple. Like, you're not in charge of the loading. Like, you haven't even thought of the loading dock, you know? And so then, like, these are all the things that are going on in my mind, especially with some venues. Like, you want to be able to account for all the time that you're going to need.
An example like that, is that something that a venue would reach out to the couple, and like, do they have a form to fill out, or how does that work? I've never seen the clients.
They will ask like when the vendors are arriving, and then I guess the couples, you're right, they'd have to reach out to their vendors and say, what time are you coming? Like, the venue is asking about the loading dock, you know? And so that's why, like, they have these finalization meetings, and I will always say, like, I'm at that meeting with you guys, and I will be the one where they're saying to me, like, so is this a 60-inch table or is this like a 72-inch table? And I will answer, don't worry. You don't need to know the sizes of tables and, like, you know, what does this, like, how many cocktail tables and where do you want them placed and where's the punch going? And don't worry, like, I will help you with all those questions.
I can't even imagine how swamped you would feel having to answer all of those things when you aren't dealing with it.
Yeah.
As a professional.
Yeah, exactly. And then also too, the week of your wedding, like, if you have any cancellations, like, you need to let the venue know, and you also need, and if you have a caterer, right, there's like the venue and the caterer sometimes. I'm just kind of calling the venue as a both, but then maybe the decorator needs to know the new plans, or like the printing of your seating chart. There's all these things. And in the meantime, the week of your wedding, that's when all your people are coming into town, and you should be just like enjoying it. You don't want to be at your Excel spreadsheet, like, updating everything and sending emails, or at your nail appointment, like, receiving all these emails that you have to get back to all these different people about. You know, it's just a lot. It's a lot to manage.
Let's go back to the scenario where you had to be the middleman or the middlewoman between the parents and the bride and groom. Does that scenario ever happen in the planning process, where the couple wants to do something but their parents are against it, and you're in the middle trying to, you know, deal with that? tell me of some stories.
Yeah, for sure. And I find it's happening more and more because weddings are becoming like more expensive and people are getting, you know, they are getting married later in life, but sometimes it's not the case and the parents are the ones that are paying. So that can be so difficult whenever we have the parents, they have their opinions, but they're also the ones holding the purse strings. And so then the couple has to kind of give some control over because they're not the ones actually paying for it. So that can be difficult for sure. And especially when we have like a mom who's really involved and then dad is just paying the bills and then he steps in every just once in a while, but doesn't get the full scenario. That can be really tricky because then I feel like I'm catching them up a little bit. But usually by the end, the parents are the ones that are maybe even more appreciative than the couple sometimes, because on a wedding day, they just see that they got to really enjoy it. And like my favorite is like the big hugs from dad with tears in his eyes saying like, thank you for what you gave our family. Like today was so amazing. You know, so like those are some of my favorite moments. It's like when dad is like sobbing in my arms, you know, over how happy his day was, you know, with his, like for his daughter or his son, you know?
And you're like, wait a sec, repeat that?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just
going to, exactly.
guys, record this, okay?
I know. Exactly.
Because I need you to remember.
Yeah, I just love that. I just think that's so awesome. Yeah. Yeah. But I think also too, like I want to work into the day things that are important to the couple too, right? So those special things that are important to them, like I had recently where the groom was a baker and he really wanted to bake all the cakes. They didn't want a traditional wedding cake. And then I gave them the idea of like, what if you served your cake to your guests, like in like a kind of like an act of service towards your guests, then you get to have like kind of a receiving line, yeah. But it's dessert based, you know, so it's reward. I know Luke, you love food. So this would be like right to your heart, but you know, and they loved it. And like the end result was so beautiful because all the guests were super excited to eat this cake, which like not everybody even likes wedding cake, you know, and so they were so excited to eat his cake and to like come and chat with the couple and everything. So it was such an awesome moment,
such a unique thing to do, right? And
yeah.
I love that. I think we're both similar in that way. We always want to try and bring some unique piece, like as much as weddings kind of end up looking similar, I love when we can add something that's like unique to their day, right? Like and just sort of just like speaks to it, because then you can remember, oh yeah, they did this like really cool thing. It doesn't even end up having to cost like a lot of money. I'm sure it wasn't fun for him, but baking all those cakes,
yeah,
that week, but and the stress of like getting
driving them from DC.
Oh, wow. Yeah, exactly, right? Like, yeah. You know, people don't realize how stressful that is. They're like, totally. Oh, I'd have to pay a delivery for a cake. Imagine delivering cake to feed 100 people.
No, exactly.
How stressed you'd be, yeah. Right? Sure. Those are things that I think about anyways, is just like, imagine all of that, right? And yeah. Even just all of the behind the scenes, I think people don't understand, like, and this is the next question that I want to jump into, is what is the difference between having a wedding planner and a day of coordinator? Because all the hype is like, okay, just get a wedding coordinator and like everything's taken care of.
Yeah.
But talk us through really what are the main differences when it comes to that.
I'm actually loving that venues are really starting to push the fact that people should have planners and coordinators, and I'm really loving that right now. I feel like that is such like a great move for the wedding industry, that people are kind of defining their roles a little bit better, because I think at one point venues were trying to do like a little bit too much as far as like they're trying to manage their venue, because a venue coordinator is somebody who just manages the venue, right? Like that's their job, food, their staffing, the setup, tables, like all that is theirs. But then your planner, or your, we'll call them a coordinator for right now, is the person who is like, did the DJ arrive? Does he have our timeline? Like, let's go through the timeline, meet with the MC, go through the timeline, you know? And then the same thing with the couple, making sure they're okay, the parents are okay. Like, you're more kind of responsible for like the couple and their people, and also the vendors and the setup and the look and all of it, just making sure it's exactly what was in the contracts as well, right? And so that's a little bit the difference between those two. But what I'm finding is that there's this kind of disconnect still between a wedding planner and a coordinator. And I think I really hate the term day of coordinator. I just think that's such an, like, I just want to remove that word from everybody's vocabulary. And when people say like, oh, I just need a day of coordinator, are you available? I'm like, we have day of coordination in all of our packages. Like, that's how I answer that, because I don't think, we're not magicians. We can't just walk in on your wedding day and you give us a timeline that you've planned one wedding with, yeah, and you just like, we magically make it happen, you know, and it works out perfectly. Like, that's just not realistic. And so I really want just people just to stop that like altogether. And I used to call it I have partial planning, and I used to call it month of, but then people, what they would do is they wouldn't plan their wedding, and the month of the wedding, they'd be like, here, Erica, finish it all off. off, you know, and so I don't do that anymore either. So I call it partial, and then that gives them like some few meetings along the way. But with a full planner, like you're with you, I'm with you the whole time. So I'm with you in all your appointments, like any worries that you have, you're kind of leaning on your planner for, you're leaning on my experience, and I will give you like my honest opinion. Like I definitely am not like holding back, you know. And then by the time we get to your wedding day, I know you guys so well that I can execute my awesome plan, but make sure that everything is what you would want. So if there is some kind of crisis or issue, I can deal with it. And I can be like, he would hate that. Like, we're not doing the bar that way or whatever it is. Or like, that would drive her absolutely insane. Like, we're not doing that. And so we can kind of smooth things out. And then I also know, okay, this part of the day is not as important. So we're going to cut back a little bit on whatever that is so that we can catch up with the other part that I know is more important to them. So that's what I love about full planning is that I get to know them so much better. And then I can really bring their day to life like the way they want it.
Yeah, because I feel like people think, okay, day of coordinator, they're going to take care of like worrying about the DJ and the caterer and all that stuff. And sure, they might worry about it, but can they actually action it because they've never really talked to these people in advance? Right. Maybe like you said, they've created this timeline, the first one they've ever created,
yes.
Right? The couple's ever created a wedding day timeline pulled from Google, who knows,
exactly.
Right? ChatGPT'd it. And, you know, but then, you know, like you said, every vendor has different things. Like maybe the band needs to come in the day before or something
right.
like that. Or the DJ needs, like you said, multiple yeah. plugins in different areas, right? Like there's all kinds of little things. Or even for us, like as photo video, we need to have like a place to like put all of our stuff,
exactly.
right? And it's yeah. like, well, if you don't have a place to put it, like
yeah.
what do we
it's
do?
It's in the room with like all the nice decor.
Yeah, and so, or it's just, you know, like again, just managing that expectation and making sure that there's enough time for them, right? To
yeah.
go from place to place. If you say, oh, we only need an hour for cocktail hour, but then you're doing, you know, all of your family photos,
exactly.
all your bridal party photos because you didn't do a first look, and then your own photos in an hour, right?
Yeah.
Like you, those types of things you wouldn't be able to deal with in advance because you're only there on the day of.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Because what I like to do is if I get to do, even with partial planning, like my timeline and everything that I've done, it's like 95% of the work is actually done. The execution of the day is kind of the easy part, if that makes sense, because all the work has been done to really try to mitigate as many risks. And then the wedding day, you're delivering this awesome event. And like everybody just gets to like make sure that that plan gets implemented. So if you've got an awesome plan ahead of time, you're just implementing an awesome plan. And then of course, you're going to have to deal with like things that come up that happens. But that's the other thing too. Like, you know, it's pretty hard to make me cry on a wedding day. Like I don't think I've ever cried on a wedding, besides tears of joy, always tears of joy. But, you know, like to have somebody that knows like in a crisis, okay, we're going to figure this out, you know, and there's been some like crazy things over the years, you know, so.
We've been at lots of weddings. Is there ever really one where you can say, okay, absolutely everything went off without a hitch? There was no like behind the scenes thing? Or would you say that every single wedding has like something you have to iron out? Like talk us through that, because I'm sure
yes.
like, you know, there's weddings where a lot has happened,
yeah.
but there's obviously some that maybe not a lot happened. Like
yeah.
tell us, like, is there ever a wedding that you've been to that's just had no issues whatsoever?
I don't know if there's ever been no issues, definitely like easier issues to fix, to the point that sometimes I'll even say to my team, like, are we missing something? Like, this is too easy, you know, because I'm just always expecting, like, I'm ready to go, you know, for whatever it is. So on those days, I feel like I'm waiting for something to happen. And when I get to leave at the end of the night and nothing's happened, I'm like, okay, all right then, you know. So, but I do feel like, again, it's a lot of the pre-planning. Like, so a lot of the things that we can catch ahead of time, I'm really trying to catch ahead of time. But there's always something that can happen, you know. Like we had a wedding where the air conditioning just couldn't keep up because it was 36 degrees outside and it was super hot inside the room, and the cake was starting to like melt from how warm it was in the room. We're like, get the couple back in, we gotta cut the cake, you know. So like those types of things for sure happen. And then we try to hide as much as we can from our couples, and to the point, like my team, we always joke about, you know, like the penguins in Madagascar,
yeah.
where they say like, smile and wave, boys, smile and wave. So like the couples going by are their family, we're like, everything's fine, and then like close the doors and then, you know, fix whatever it is. Don't complain about things to your guests if you're worried about something, because like what's going to happen is on the wedding day, they're going to be looking for those things, you know. So like, just try to keep things just between us, you know, whatever you're worried about, keep it between us.
That's good advice. Yeah. I think that that's really good advice because sometimes, like if I knew that they were going to have problems with, I don't know, like their musicians or something, right?
Exactly.
And I knew that there was something going on, then I'd be looking for it. But if I didn't know, I wouldn't have known, right?
Yeah. So like we had a bride where there was an issue with her dress. And then on the wedding day, I was like, oh, it looks like it's good. We're good, you know? And then I was telling the makeup artist, I was like, oh, she had an issue with her dress. And the bride was like, I don't want to talk about it to anyone. I was like, no problem. You know, we stopped talking because she didn't want anybody to even mention what had happened in the past about the dress, you know? And then like nobody on the day of knew anything about the dress. So it was perfect. Nobody knew anything. Yeah.
I mean, I want to chat about a funny story just to like side note here. We did a wedding together this fall and something unexpected happened. A bottle of champagne exploded all over this poor groom. And I laugh because the first thought that I had was to call you, right? Yeah. Because had I not had you, and I think about this a lot in that scenario, had I not had you on that day, because I literally needed to go from the groom to the bride at this point and start doing her photos, had I not had you, I probably would have felt like I needed to stay and like help fix the situation, right? Or like manage it a little bit because I'd be worried that maybe, I don't know, I didn't know what was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And it was so nice. And I think people don't understand like the power of having somebody who can like then take over. I know it's not very like heard of that champagne is just going to explode all over somebody. In this case it did. And like, I just felt like so lucky to have you. I know that I'm sure the phone call on the other end wasn't great to receive of me going like, something's wrong. We need to fix this. But it was so nice that like people don't understand how important that was for me to be able to be like, it's okay. Erica's got it. I can go like, not tell the bride anything happened.
That was the best.
Until later, right?
Yeah,
where we could laugh about it.
We could laugh about it then.
But at the time, you know, it wasn't funny, right? And
it's
a big, like, again, big wedding. Lots of stuff is at stake here. Lots of stress that could have, you know, come into that situation. But we were able to sort of handle it. And I think that's such a kudos to why it's so important to have a planner on a
yeah,
day of.
Yeah, that was such a funny phone call to get. Like, Erica. Like, it was like throwing up the bat signal. Like, we need Batman.
And you're probably like, ooh.
Oh, for sure. Batman. And I remember just saying to my team, like, I don't know how long I'm going to be. Like, you guys are in charge. You guys figure this out. I will be back, you know. And then as I came up to you, I was the same thing. Like, the speed walking, you know, down the hallways.
Yeah.
And hopping in the elevator. And then in the meantime, like, voice texting. I'm, like, calling the concierge. Like, do we have 2-hour dry cleaning available? And then like calling the person that like the tailor for the suit and like the people who made the suit. I'm like, can we get a new shirt? Like, what would that be like? You know, and like finding all the scenarios so that by the time I hit the groom's door, I was like, a plan was in motion of what we were going to do. And then as soon as he was so awesome about it and was like, I love the smell of my champagne. Like, I'm fine to smell like champagne all day. Cause that was my worry is like, he's not going to want to smell like booze all day. And he was like, I love Dom Perignon. Like, it's totally fine. And I was like, okay, I can deal with that. I can dry this. You know, this is just a drying situation. It's not a replacement situation.
But all of those scenarios that you had were going through my head, right? Like,
exactly.
Can we get a 1-hour, you know, dry clean? Can we get a new shirt or whatever? And he goes, no, it was a custom shirt. And I'm going,
I know.
Oh gosh.
I know. Yeah. So I called the guy that had done the shirt. He was like, bring a sewing machine and a shirt. Like, we need you on site. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So in that situation, right, like, had I not had you, it would have delayed things, right?
That's right.
Because I would have been thinking of like, okay, how can we do this? Or what do we do? Or, you know, who can dry this?
Well, we wouldn't even know where to begin, really. No. Like, you already had, what, 5 different ways of, okay, we can, the hotel might be able to, the one that actually sold the shirt might be able to. There's a lot of different things.
Like, I don't even know who that was, right?
I know.
In
yeah,
that
exactly.
scenario, just, no. it was just.
Especially between us and, like, the groom was super chill about it, but what if he wasn't?
What if he wasn't,
And we didn't have you, and he would have made us feel like we're panicking as well. So I don't even know what that scenario would have looked like.
And I even said to him, like, please don't tell anybody. Like, don't tell the bride or anything. Like, I'm not going to tell her because I want to just, I don't want to stress her out that you're stressed, you know?
Exactly.
But imagine he was just like, okay, calling her, stressing her out. Like, you know, like it just could have been a really bad scenario. So there's just so many things that having a planner just makes your life easier.
Absolutely.
And also makes the vendor's life easier. I think that's what I wanted to touch on is that people don't understand how much having a planner on, like a good planner on a wedding day makes us be able to truly be creative and to really hone in on our skills and to do what we do in the best possible way. And I think that that is something that nobody can really take for granted. And once you've experience that, like, I want that all the time. Like, I've, right. how many times have I said to you, I wish I could do every single wedding with you?
Yeah, no, I know. And I think too, it's like, it's not fair when people say like, oh, well, I have a venue coordinator. Like, why would that be the venue coordinator's job to take care of that item? It has nothing to do with the actual venue. Yeah. Like that's like an issue with a couple. A couple needs something, you know? So that's the other thing too, is that whenever people are like, oh, my venue comes with a coordinator, I'm like, why is that their problem? It has nothing to do with their job description, yeah. you know, to
imagine
deal with.
Imagine being like, hey, venue yeah. coordinator, I need you to find some dry cleaner that yeah, will express exactly. this in yeah. an hour.
And if you're in a hotel, okay, well, yes, you could lean on your concierge maybe, but I mean, they also are dealing with hundreds of people that are staying at the hotel. You're not their one priority, you know?
Yeah, and so. There might be multiple weddings too, yeah, right, that they're exactly. dealing with on a day, right? That's another thing that mm-hmm. you're dealing with this one
that's right.
wedding, yeah. right? They could be dealing with three, four, yeah. I mean, exactly. depending on which venue, could be multiple weddings happening, and they're trying to coordinate all of that. They don't yeah. have time. To deal with your dry cleaning.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the other thing too for a vendor is like, you know, as an example during speeches, like I want to make sure that photo and video are in the room, that like the parents are in the room, the wedding party, ideally the groomsmen love to wander, so that can be tricky. And then, you know, the couple is in the room, and then it's like cue the speech. DJ lower the music, you know, mic time, you guys good. Like yeah. we're talking to the venue, we're like, no more service, like, you know, wait on this, you know. Yeah. So all those pieces are happening. But that wouldn't be the case if you were just relying on your banquet manager to do that. Your banquet manager isn't going to come from your venue and say, like, Luke, you ready? You know, Bethany, you got your camera? Like, let's go, you know. So it's just not a fair situation to put your venue in either. And I think that's why so many venues now are saying, like, we really want to start having a planner on as many weddings as we can, because they know that they can be more effective at their jobs and not have to manage so much. And I answer a lot of questions for my couples that the venue manager never even gets, you know, so like they never even get those questions because I've already answered them.
Well, I wonder if the venue itself educate their clients about the roles and responsibilities of their coordinator, because there is a lot of this ambiguity, or I don't know what they do. I heard day of coordinators take care of this, so I'll just assume that they take care of that responsibility. Yeah. Maybe they need to do a better job of saying, this is what we take care of, this is what we don't take care of. So if you're looking for this kind of service, you might want to outsource.
I find that they have been doing that for the last year, or I'm seeing it a lot more, and it depends on the venue, of course. Like, some of them are still very like, we don't need a planner at our venue, but I think that, you know, the more times you can spend with a good planner, you'll realize the benefit of it. But I think, yeah, I think a lot of it is education, and it's like, I feel like a lot of it falls on plan. I don't know. It just, I feel it. Maybe it's just because like I like to be on social media, but I just feel there's so much responsibility on me to like educate everyone on, this is the difference between these things. This is why a venue would do this way, like where they would want a planner. This is why, like, even photographers, I know it's becoming more common, especially in the States, where they're like, we're not working with couples who don't have a planner anymore. Like, it's too much. Like, we can't be creative, you know, unless they have a planner and like, you can take this. And then it's like, you know, well, we need a good planner. They have a list, you know, so they get a bit more picky. But yeah, and then I just met with a venue last week in Ottawa where they were asking me questions. Like, again, I'm the one educating them. Like, this is how things work best, is like this. And they were saying to me, like, well, can we have a vendor list? And we give that vendor list. And they said, yes. But then lots of couples are going to say, well, then why do we need a planner? Because you just gave us a vendor list. And if you really want to push planners, then don't give away everything, because it's a mindset then. Even if you have a vendor list and you've chosen from the vendor list, people think like, oh, my wedding planning is done, I've chosen my vendors. You're like, oh my gosh, like my checklist has over 150 things on it for a reason. Like, there's so many things in between just booking your vendors and your wedding day, you know?
Oh my gosh. I feel like we could write a book about
Yeah. Absolutely.
Totally write a book. One of the things I think that's important to talk about, and I feel like I'm sure affects you as a planner a lot, would be the way in which certain vendors like work with you, and like the etiquette in terms of, you know, what they should and shouldn't be doing when it comes to working with a planner. Because I feel like, you know, not everybody has experience working with a planner. And so to me, I found that obviously every planner works a little bit different, but I'm curious for you, what are some of the things that you really like when it comes to vendors working with you?
Yeah, I think part of it for me would just be to keep me involved, especially if I'm full planning. I mean, if it's partial, it's a little different, but if I'm the full planner, keep me involved in every conversation that you're having with the couple, because sometimes what you might think is a small little detail will affect so many other things, like a small timeline change, that I have to change the timeline, but then I might have to contact like the venue, or maybe that's, okay, let's make sure the couple has some champagne brought to this location with some canapes, like that type of thing. So just keeping me involved in the conversation, even if it's just a copy. And then if I don't need to be involved and I just read it and I think it's fine, then I don't need to be involved. But most of the time I just love having that light touch always of keeping me in the loop. And then also if you're going to have, you know, especially whenever photographer and videographers, when they have a call with them about timeline, I'm like, I need to be on that call, because it happened to me recently where I was on the call and then the photographer was like, well, like, we'll just do it during these hours. I was like, oh no, I need it in my timeline. Like, I need to know what's happening for the day. I can't just like loosey-goosey it. Like, I need to understand what the day is, and I'll make sure that the right people are at the right place for you. But I just need to be involved in that portion of it. And it's not trying to like keep the control of the wedding. It's more to make your life easier in the end, so that come the wedding day, it's really as smooth as it can be for you guys as well. And I do try to protect my vendors. Like, whenever you guys, you know, like you're out and it's a hot day and you come back in, I'm like, do you want a Coke? Do you want a Diet Coke? Like, you know, let's make sure you guys are fed. Like, we're not getting our food. Like, did you, you know, DJ, do you have cutlery? Like, I'm making sure these things are happening for my vendors too, because they're my team. Like, I can't make this wedding happen without everybody, right? And so, and at the end of it, I love whenever people are willing to share their content, like especially for photo video. I mean, that's mostly where it is. And don't make me chase you. Like, I made this wedding with you. Like, we all made this wedding together, and it's gorgeous. And, you know, the couple's happy and all the things. And you got to take this beautiful video and beautiful photos because of all that. So like, don't make me chase you for content for things like that. Obviously, if the couple doesn't want us to share, that's different. But there's always something we can share from a wedding that the couple is okay with. It might just be details, or, you know, a shot of them from behind or whatever, if they're super private. But just having that is really, it's like such a nice, you know, kind of added bonus. And it's happened to me before where like a videographer was like, no, I don't want to give that to you because we don't work enough together. And I was just like, that's one way to never work with me again, is to say something like that. Like, this beautiful wedding was created because we all worked so friggin' hard together to make it happen.
I mean, obviously, you know, I get jealous when other people try to, you know, cold DM or take you to lunch. I definitely feel all those things. But I think that, you know, the thing is, there's so much more that goes into, like, the relationship that you have with the planner. And that's something that I learned, I mean, years ago from cold DMing, is that it's not like we met and then all of a sudden you sent me every single wedding that you've ever worked on, right? Like, that's, I think people think that, like, or they have this idea in their head, like, oh, they must be, you know, in it.
Partnership or whatever somebody said to me once. Yeah.
But no, the thing is like, it's a two-way thing. We're always trying to make sure that the other person is getting something, right? In the sense of like if we're creating content for you, or if you're sending us clients, like it's always like this two-way street. It's never just like, okay, we only work with, you know, Bethany and Luke, and I send everything to them. I think that that's one of the things you do so well, is you're always like looking at your client and saying, okay, what do you want, right? Like, what is your vibe here? Like, if we're not the right fit, you're gonna tell them that, right? Like, and I think that that's such a thing that people don't realize, is that it's not just this like one-way street.
And I just turn on the tap and all these clients start coming.
Yeah, no. And I mean, you know, we've worked together for years to kind of get to this point where, you know, our quirks, right? Like, you already said, get you a Diet Coke, because you know we love Diet Coke on a wedding day. And, you know, making sure we get fed because Luke loves food so much, right? Like, these are the little things that you've picked up on just from working with us, right? No, and exactly. So those types of things I think are really important. And that's why we've obviously worked so well together.
Are there any final thoughts that you want to share with us today on either working with a planner, how make it easier for you, make it easier for us, easier for the client?
I think probably the biggest thing is that on a wedding day, you know, couples are so happy at the end of it. And like, that's really what I want. So from a vendor perspective, like, that's our end goal. That's always our end goal, is for our couples to be super happy. And then from our couples perspective, like, I want them to just think like, this was the best day ever. But I also want them to have loved their planning experience. So people just think like, it's about the day, but there's also those, like, let's just say it's a year, right? Like, all those days between now and then, I just want you to enjoy the wedding planning experience. You do it once, so, well, hopefully you do it once, and you get, I would just really want you to enjoy that part of it. And then on the day of, I've never heard of someone saying like, oh, we really regret having had a wedding planner. You know, it's usually the opposite. When people will DM me later and say like, we made a mistake, like, we went with the wrong planner, or we should have had you, or we should have had a planner, period. And like, that's the regret. The regret is never I really wish we hadn't had someone to help us all day, you know? So I love like that big hug at the end where they're like, I'm going to miss you. And like, there's like usually like a big sweaty hug on the dance floor, like tears of joy type thing. And then, you know, like, how are we going to have like our life without you, you know? And so I love that. And then in that interaction after, I love it, especially with social media, it's great. Cause then I get to see my couples like have babies and like their families grow and things like that. So that's my favorite part, for sure.
I agree. I feel like we're so lucky to be able to do what we do in the sense of we get to be there on people's happiest days, right? And I have to sort of like, you know, realize how truly special that is, right? And the fact that we get to be there to be part of that, right? Like, you know, as well as I know, like we get to really know our couples, and especially through like the speeches and, you know, I mean, for you, you must get to know them even more than we get to know them. So I can't imagine how hard that must be at the end to just be like, okay, bye. Yeah. And I know for us how important it is to go to weddings where we've worked with the, you know, previous couples that are at weddings. So I'm sure for you, that must be like the best day ever when you get to not only work with an amazing new couple, but to see like past couples at weddings.
Yeah,
that's always so special.
Like, I love being able to see exactly what you said, like past couples at someone's wedding, for sure. A referral is always awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Erica. How can people get in contact with you? What's the, you know, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Probably the easiest is going to be on social. I'm on Instagram a lot, and it's Erica Irwin Weddings. And then I've got my website as well, which is ericairwin.com. And I'm always happy to talk about weddings. So like, DM me, comment on my posts, and reach out. But I also do consultations, obviously, if you're interested in planning. So just reach out that way. I am also on TikTok. Yes, I personally love TikTok, like from like a consumer perspective. But I feel like my game is better on Instagram than it is on TikTok. But yes, I'm on TikTok too.
Yay, all done.
Good job, guys.
Sorry, I'm clammy.
Anything that we need to, yeah. Sweaty in here.
He's always sweaty on his hands.